toward day to finish praying.
I'll pray.
Okay. All right, praise him.
I'm going to ask everyone to stand, please. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you that you are so precious, that you are so right on time, dear Lord, that you know what we need when we need it, dear Jesus. So this afternoon, dear Lord, that we continue in our praise, dear Lord, we continue in our worship, dear Lord, and we allow your Spirit to speak to our heart. We pray, dear Lord, as we bow our hearts before you, that our spiritual ears are open to receive what you have in store. I pray over Pastor Sandy, dear Lord, that he allows the Holy Spirit to move within him, dear Jesus, being sensitive to every direction, dear Lord, that he hears from you with clarity, dear Jesus, on exactly what to say to your people today, on this day, dear Lord. We bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. We're excited to receive you continuously this day and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Drea, either they have to take it to another room.
Okay. I got you.
How you guys doing? Good to see everyone. My friends back there. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for them to finish praying over there. Nicole. Andrea, yeah. Could you tell me? Okay.
The Lord said that the chain.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord said that the chain.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, it's good to see Jacob here today. We're going to baptize him after church.
Hallelujah.
And that's a wonderful thing.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come celebrate with us.
Hallelujah. Follow us down to the beach. Down by the riverside.
Okay. Are you guys ready?
In a second.
You are? Huh? You are? Okay. All right. I want to first of all speak on, and I have no, I take it as it comes, because I have no understanding why the Lord was so passionate about what I'm about to say to you. A relationship without passion is a sad relationship.
Yes. Amen.
The Lord was just expressing to me this morning, like, this is what I want you to tell them first, is that without passion, it is very hard to maintain a relationship.
Yes.
A lot of people get married and passion strong in the beginning, 2 or 3, 4 years, and now there's no passion. And they don't know or understand what happened with the relationship.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, you forgot. You forgot how you came in. You forgot the early first dates.
Amen.
You forgot a lot of things. And then so since you forgot, your relationship becomes dull. And the person that used to preach the gospel and love Jesus is now struggling just to live and not in sin. You understand? So how does a relationship end up, oh, I don't live with her anymore, we're not married, or I don't live with him anymore, we're not, or I'm not, how does that happen? The Lord said to me this morning, very slowly. It starts off with a little folding of the hands, a little bit of, well, not today. And then before you know it, your passion for that person is gone, okay? And the Lord says he's not made like that. And I want you to understand that. God is not made to be in a passionateless relationship. It's easy, and I was telling Drea this morning, it's very easy to be religious, but it's very hard to be in a relationship. Anybody can be religious because all you have to do is go to work, pay the bills, come home, watch TV, and go to bed. Wake up the next day, say good morning, go to work, go pay the bills, come home. And with Christ, all you got to do is go to church, clock in, sing your song, go home. And not have any passion about God or what God has for you. And I don't know if you guys have read Song of Songs, but man, the Song of Songs is like a crazy love movie,
yeah,
right?
It is.
It's like God is like out buying roses the whole time and complimenting you. You feel so good if you know which part you are in there. You feel like, wow, you know?
Yeah.
And God is like, this is how I live for my people.
Yeah.
And I'm always so passionate for you. Even when you're not passionate for God, God is passionate for you. But the ultimate thing, and I'm not going to use no old songs.
Go ahead.
Is two people who love each other and the passion is equal. It makes for romance, it makes for longevity, it makes for, but you have to put in your mind that you're in a relationship and you can't let it slip by becoming redundant, not compassionate about it. I was asking the Lord why he called me. It's because you're passionate about everything. I mean, if it was something wrong, I was passionate about it. Playing football, I was passionate about it. Lifting weights, passionate about it. Being married to Drea, passionate about it, right? I tell Drea sometimes, I don't need you to be in love for me to be in love. And she's like, you're so mushy all the time. Well, I don't need you to be, you don't have to be mushy. That's just me. That's how I'm built. You understand? And so we have to understand that God is looking for, the reason that he wants your oil oil in your lamp, and it for to be shining bright at all time, is because he wants you on fire.
Yes.
For him.
Yes.
He wants you on fire for his word. He wants you passionate. Hard to live that way. Told a couple one time, I said, you know what? I'm gonna make a deal with you guys. You guys, every time you argue, you gotta stop and tongue kiss.
Ooh.
And they would go, ooh, you see that? Now wait a minute, now watch this. There was a time where a tongue kiss, you was living for it.
Yeah.
Now it's like, see, once you get older and you're in a relationship, you're like, no thanks. So I'm just saying, look. Now, you're talking about two people that got married, loved each other, have kids, and now all of a sudden you tell them, if I catch you arguing, you're going to have to stop and tongue kiss. And they go, ugh. So it means that the whole relationship has changed, right? It's not fiery passion anymore. It's like, we just hanging out. Well, God says he doesn't want you to live like that with him.
Amen.
A morning Bible study should be exciting.
Yeah.
Raising your hands and praising him and singing to him should be exciting.
Yeah.
You have to, but you have to be, you have to want to maintain the passion in your, you have to want to maintain the passion yeah. in your relationship,
yeah.
okay?
Yeah.
The first time I got saved, I woke up and it felt like the whole world was changed. I remember walking down the street like, it's like everything's new. It was like, I carried my Bible. My brother was irritated with me. It's like people were saying, man, your brother's weird. He carries a Bible with him all day. But I was so excited about
yeah.
Jesus. And so God is like, look, you guys don't let a day of not reading your Bible, and then another day of not reading your Bible, and another day of not praying, and another day of lead you into a dull, lifeless relationship that you know you would not, it would not be sustainable for you if someone was like that towards you. You understand?
Amen.
I don't know who I said that for, and I'm sorry about the tongue kiss example. Because I know some of y'all will be grossed out the rest of the day. And got kids, so somebody used to tongue kiss.
Amen.
All right. We we are today we are looking at the days and the times that we're in. We're either days or weeks away from an incredible moment
yes.
in the history of the world.
Yes.
And one of the reasons the Lord was talking about this to me this morning was like, you think that people, there's not enough time for people to fall. He said, but the lack of their compassion for me, or the lack of their passion for me, makes it easy for them to fall, even in the short amount of time that we have left. Because God wants all of us to know that you keeping oil in your lamp is not something the Holy Spirit can do for you. You understand? You keeping oil in your lamp, the Holy Spirit is in there. He's the fire. All he needs is the oil. It's like, I'm in here. I just need some prayer, some Bible study, some fellowship. So that's all I need to stay on flame, right? But he's depending on you to put that in and keep that burning, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so even in the short time that we have left, you have to think about your relationship with God, okay? I'm going to say it because God told me, like, you sound crazy, but do it. It's the reason why I called you. You're about to experience something that is out of this world. You can't even imagine. Some of us, you've never even seen an angel. Now to think about seeing 100 million of them on one day.
Yeah.
Standing around singing songs because you got lifted up off the earth is something that you can't imagine.
Yeah.
But God made the world and planned a wedding for this occasion for you to have this day.
Yeah.
And even though we can ignore a lot of things that have happened, some people have ignored that Israel is a nation again. Some people have ignored, you know, that we're living in the last days. Some people have ignored that we're 73 years into an 80-year count. It's easy for humans to ignore because you don't want to deal with that God planned something and everything that he has said he would do has already been done. All the prophecies have happened except for the one that involves you right now. And we can't imagine it. So God says they have to stay passionate because Satan knows what time it is.
Yes.
He knows the mohadims, the appointed times and the appointed dates. Okay?
Amen.
I want us to go to the book of Micah chapter 7. Because I had a dream last night that people were being very mean to each other. And I was like, what is this, the tribulation? When I woke up, I said, is this the tribulation? What is this? Why is everybody being so mean to each other? And the Lord's like, you're days before that being the reality of the world. That you're days before that being the reality of the world. What's going to be the reality of the world? Here, let's look at Micah and see what it says.
Amen.
Okay? Micah chapter 7, verse 1. God is speaking. He says, what misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the end of at the gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I crave. The godly have avowed from the land. If your Bible says swept away or perished, it is not the Hebrew word avad, which means to disappear or to vanish. But it says the godly have avowed from the land. They've disappeared. Not one upright man remains. Okay, if all the godly people are gone and there's not even one righteous person left on the earth, then what do you think just happened? Because if they were righteous, they would be with God.
Right.
So God is telling you not everybody that is left upon the earth are people that God deemed to be unrighteous, not worthy of the wedding feast. Let's continue. Not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The rulers demand gifts. The judges accept bribes. The powerful dictate what they desire, like they're doing now. They all conspire together. Do you know they wouldn't let a lady go home the other day with her baby? Because she said she wouldn't let her take a, she said, well, you can't take your baby home until you get.
No.
I don't know where that's going in court, but they won't give her a baby not to take home until she does this. So we don't understand. See, this is crazy.
Wow.
For human beings, we don't understand this. This is craziness to us, right? This is all to manipulate a lie and to keep a lie going as long as they can until they can get this little chip inside of everyone, okay? So I just want you guys to know, as this is being set up, okay, days before the whole world becomes worse, because you haven't seen it yet. Days before it gets worse, they are doing things in the world that are absolutely crazy. Like the rulers dictate what they want, that the scriptures say, they're doing whatever they feel like it, okay? And you guys have to understand and know, cooperating with the system is not going to make the system be nicer to you.
Amen. Amen.
It's going to make them require more from you, because they see, oh, they'll give up this. Maybe they'll also give up this. Mm-hmm. Then, okay, they'll take that. So maybe now they'll take this. Yeah. And so don't think that Satan is going to go, okay, they all did it. Now they just rejected the boosters today. They said, nah, it's unnecessary. They rejected it, okay? But why did you need a booster? Why did you need it in the first place? But you have to know and understand, they're dictating what they want in the world today. And since most of us are in a human realm and we can't see beyond the human realm, even though we look up in the sky and we go, that is crazy, how did that big old moon just get up there? And we look at the sun come up, we go, hey, it's hot today, look how big that sun is. And how, and you know that there are like, someone said that, I was watching this thing, they said there are hundreds of stars that are bigger than the sun. Our God created all that.
Yeah.
But we can't imagine, there can't be any life further than Earth. I mean, this is all we get. Yet the Bible is telling you an event is coming in the world, a wedding is coming for the creator of all things, and you're a part of it. Prepare yourself, be passionate about this. Let's continue reading this. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The rulers demand a gift. Judges accept the bribe. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of them is like a briar, which is a thorn bush, like Satan. The most upright, worse than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman has come. You hear that? Who's the watchman? I am a watchman. All the crazy people that tell people about the rapture, God bless you and thank you.
Yes.
Because very rich, manipulated churches will not even mention that Jesus has a wedding plan.
Amen.
One pastor this past week said the reason Jesus is not coming back because you people not tithing enough. I said, boy, he's living right in the 80s.
Wow.
And y'all know who he is, but I ain't going to say his name. Well, I should say his name. And I'm like, God's people are smarter than that now. You can't say stupid stuff like that.
Right.
But his mindset is still in, how much money can I make out of these people, right?
Wow.
So this whole Laodicean church and Laodicean mentality, I got the money, I got everything that I need, and God is trying to speak to them. You understand? Listen to this. The day of your watchman has come, the day God visits you. Now is the time of their confusion. Now is the time that the world goes into confusion. When all the believers are taken out, now the world goes into confusion.
Yes. Yes.
Do not trust your neighbor. Do not have confidence in a friend. That means if you left behind, anybody who's watching is not born again, or you living in sin and you feel like you're once saved and you're always saved. Once we're gone, do not trust your neighbor, put no confidence in a friend. Even with her, you lie in her embrace. Be careful of your words. I'm listening to my wife and the guys on the phone. These people here, they're all here, and they're not wearing their masks. And if I tell you, I'm gonna report them all. And he was just so mad. The bunch of spreaders. And I was like,
really?
And he was so passionate about turning these people in. And I'm like, after the rapture, they're gonna be so passionate about turning you in.
Yep, that's true.
I know somebody that didn't take the mark yet. Really? How are they getting food? Someone else is giving them food. Ooh, be careful saying that around people. You in the tribulation, right? God is saying, look, he has made this day to come, to manifest. 2,520 years from the time of Babylon to the time of 1948, and God already told you in Ezekiel how long it was going to take, and it came true on the day that he said, in the year that he said. So I want you to know, if God prophesied it, it's coming true.
Yes.
I don't want to hear about the Patriots are going to come together and bring back Trump and we're going to defeat the Illuminati. That's to me like people talking with drugs.
Right.
Because now you're ignoring the whole Bible that says the whole world will worship the beast.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole world. And you're ignoring that he says once Israel became a nation, you're in the last generation. And that last generation is 80 years, and we're in year 73. So I don't know how much we have to ignore to understand the fact that the Bible is going to come true. Now we have this situation. Floods are worldwide. How many people think that the flood only happened in Israel? How many think the flood only happened in the East? When the flood happened, it was a worldwide flood, was it not?
Yes.
The 2020 thing, it was a worldwide event, right?
Yes.
Just happens to be the 120th year of a prophecy from Psalms 1 to Psalms 120. But it happens right in front of us.
Yes.
We see it happen. But I'm telling you, human beings, we like to ignore things that are inconvenient to think about.
Yes.
So I want you to know and understand, what's going to keep you and what's going to keep you in relationship with God is not, it's your passion. It's your passion. It's not your fear. I've seen people. I can't stand people that go, well, I believe in the rapture, but if the rapture don't happen, I'm going back to my sinful life. People have done that. Don't you know that? We've watched it. Well, if it don't happen on this day, I'm going back in the world. Once I accepted Christ, I never said, holy rapture, please come into my life and save me from my sins. The rapture didn't save me. You understand? The rapture don't save you. Jesus saved you. My passion is somebody did that for me. That should be your passion. You cannot ignore the fact that a wedding is planned. You cannot ignore the fact that you're living in the last days. You can't ignore those facts. But one thing you know for sure, that your passion is going to maintain your relationship. And your passion is going to keep you going. And you cannot wake up in the morning and tell the God who created your body and has the sun shining up there and gave enough oxygen in the world for everybody to breathe freely that I'm just not passionate about you. But there's other things I am passionate about. It has to be passionate. And God keeps leading me back there. Now, where are we? Let's go to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. I'm sorry, let's go turn one page back and go to Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. God had told Noah that he will not deal with man much longer. He said their time they have left is 120 years. God counted. Noah was 480 years at the time. God counted to the 120th year, and then God did what he said he would do. I'm bringing judgment in 120 years. And so on the 120th year, it says in verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the seventh day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of heaven were opened, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. So that was the beginning of the flood. It was the 17th of Heshvan that God considered this is the day that the flood begins. What day was that in our 120th year, 2020? It was November 3rd of last year, and I was saying the 17th of Heshvan is the day that the flood started. And so, since it happened November 3rd, what day was that? It was the day that our precious president lost the race, right? And I just want you guys to be there with me, okay? You have a man who is winning the election, who has more than 100 videos of him being a pedophile, and he's winning the election, and we're trying to figure out how is he winning the election. They stop the election in the middle because Trump is winning, and they stop it, and then all of a sudden they start bringing in bags of votes, and some states say they had 2 million votes and they only had 1 million registered. So all this was going on, and they're taking, so this spirit wanted back into control of America, okay? It wanted back control of America, and it was willing to do anything it possible to get back into the position of controlling the United States. And so on the 17th of Heshvan, the very day that the flood started, Biden became your president again. 40 days later, the Senate came forth and said, we confirmed that it was a fair election. Biden's your president. 40 days later. So after the flood began, 40 days later, it was confirmed. It's on and cracking. So now, we go all the way to, let's go to Genesis chapter 8. I want you guys to see this. Oh, please, Lord, give me time. Or Pastor Ben, please, Lord, make Pastor Ben give me time. Because you know in 5 minutes he'll be. Okay. It said in chapter 8, verse 1, God remembered Noah and all the wild animals that lived there, and livestock that were in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of heaven had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky, and the waters receded from the earth. At the end of 150 days, the waters had gone down on the 17th day of the seventh month, and the ark came to a rest on Mount Ararat. So on the 17th day, the day that Jesus resurrected from the grave, 150 days after the flood, on the day that Jesus resurrected, the boat came to a rest on Mount Reverse the Curse, right? Because then Mount Ararat means reverse the curse. Yeah. It comes to a rest on this mountain. And now Is Noah and his family still on the ark? Yes. Who's our rest? Who's our Noah?
Jesus.
Is the seven churches still on the ark? Yes. So you're still on the ark. We read in Jasher how terrifying the ark trip really was. And it shocked me to read it because I really thought they just had a wonderful, smooth cruise. Because the Bible doesn't tell us that they went through any anguish, right? It just says there was a flood. You know, we thinking they're at the buffet and stuff is going on around them, you know, like they're on a cruise. But it says they were terrified. There was death going on around them and the boat was shaking, making them fearful.
Yep.
Sounds like how the church is now.
Yes.
There's stuff going on around us and the church is in a fearful situation because
yes.
we don't really know what's going to happen. But we know that we are on this, that this thing has begun and it's in motion, okay? The flood began in 2020 and it's in motion, okay?
Amen.
And we would love to get off the ark right now and go up to heaven, right?
Amen.
But like they did on the boat in the book of Jasher, if you can read it, they had to trust God in their fear. In the midst of their fear, they had to trust God that he was going to eventually take them out and everything would be fine. So let's continue to read this.
Amen.
It says, now the springs of the deep. I'm past that. Okay. It says in verse 5, the waters continued to recede until the 10th month. And on the first day of the 10th month, the top of the mountains became visible. Okay, the first day of the 10th month was Tammuz. And then it says, after 40 days, Noah opened the windows he had made in the ark and sent out a raven. Okay, and it kept flying back and forth until the waters had dried up from the earth. So, after the 40 days, then they released the raven. It was on the 9th of Av of this past year. I was in Arizona when the raven was released because I prophesied and I told you guys, God said that last year wasn't the 9th of Av, but there is something bad coming on the 9th of Av, and the true 9th of Av is August 16th and 17th.
Yes.
I'm in Arizona and amazingly standing around a bunch of ravens, which I thought was very huge crows. Someone like, no, crows, man, ravens, that's why they're so big. It's like, wow. So on the 9th of Av, on the 16th and 17th, the National Monument gets struck by lightning. Now I saw that part and I go, well, that was odd. Then the next morning, Afghanistan is been taken over by the Taliban. And all this crazy stuff is going on over there. And God was like, this is the release of the raven. Things are just going to get worse now until we come off the boat. So they went into Afghanistan. They started killing the Christians. They took over the military. They're telling Biden, what are you doing? But they planned that. They took all the weapons and American left. And so on the 9th of Av, this happened. Now, God told me right after that, 1 week later, something is going to happen in Israel because a week later, it says here in the scripture that he released the dove. And then it says, after 40 days, thank you. After 40 days, Noah opened the window that he had made and sent out a raven. And it kept flying back and forth until the waters had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the waters had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could not find a place to set its feet because there was water all over the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back into to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days. Now, 7 more days is 7 more days after the raven happened. And 7 more days, he sent out the dove again. And the dove returned that evening. In its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf, which is the nation of Israel. So now, 1 week after the raven, after the Afghanistan stuff, they have this war. They have this war. Well, this riot at the border. And a military guy from Israel gets shot. They're pushing balloons over and they're catching Israel on fire. And now Israel's bombing them. And God said, I told you a week after the raven, something was going to happen in Israel. Why did I tell you this? So you would know that you're right on time. Yeah. Okay? Now, Jesus says, they said they were looking for a sign. And he says, why do you people look for a sign all the time? You have no sign except for the sign of Jonah and the ark, right? And Jesus says this. Now, all of a sudden in this year, not recorded before, a guy gets swallowed by a whale.
Yeah.
I watched a whole documentary on it this past week, and he's a nice guy. He's been fishing all of his life. His friend saw the whale shaking and going crazy in the water, and then he said, all of a sudden I saw my friend feet up like this in the air, head down, and he splashes down in the water. And the whale takes off, and he said, what happened? He said, I was inside that whale. And then, you know, he's on all the night TV shows. They're talking about it, that he got swallowed by a whale. I was like, okay, a lot is happening right now in this flood year that maybe God's trying to talk to his people to tell them, stay passionate about me. I'm coming, right?
Amen.
So after that, let's continue to read this, okay? Okay, where was I? In 13 or 11. When the dove returned to him that evening, there in his beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew the waters had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again. But this time it did not return to him. By the first day of the month of Noah, 601st year. So that means it's not the 120th year anymore. You hear that?
Yeah.
That means it's not one. It's not 2020. It's 2021.
Yeah.
They're still on the boat. I think it's 2021. And we're still on the boat. Yet, God is finding a way to keep us safe and to end this thing. Okay. The first day of the month, on the 601st year, the waters had dried up from the earth. Noah removed the covering from the ark that was that the surface of the ground was dry. Okay, so now we have on the first day of the month, which is Rosh Hashanah. When is Rosh Hashanah? October 7th and 8th or 6th and 7th. Now, Rosh Hashanah is an idiom in Hebrew for the day that no one knows. It's called the hidden day. Okay? So, here we have that God is counting the days. He counts out to where you're at the 9th of Av. So you see exactly what happens on the 9th of Av. What happened on the 9th of Av? Both temples destroyed. What else happened on the 9th of Av? Everything happens. Hitler becomes Chancellor of Germany, 9th of Av. World War I, 9th of Av. Everything that's evil in Israel's history happens on the 9th of Av. When was the raven sent out? 9th of Av. Okay, so we're counting down, and on the 50 days after the raven is released is Rosh Hashanah, which is going to be this week on the 6th or 7th or 7th or 8th, depending on when the moon appears. That's why they call it the day that no one knows, because no one knows when the moon is going to reappear. Because every month your moon disappears. Do you guys know that?
Yeah.
Every month it disappears. Then it reappears as a slither in the sky. They blow the great trumpet, and that's Rosh Hashanah. Okay? So that day is just days away, and it's designated and marked out in chapter 8 to let you know that this is one of the days to be conscious of.
Yes.
Now, here's the part where all the rapture people are not going to like me. Okay? Then it says, then God said to Noah, okay, it says, by the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said, God spoke, right? Come out of the ark, you and your wives and your sons and their wives, and bring out every kind. So now, on the 27th day of the second month, the voice of God speaks and says, come out and bring your wife with you. So now, so we know that this Rosh Hashanah is this week, but the second day, the 27th day, and I'm only saying this because I know rapture people. We'll go, yeah, we saw the 70 years is a generation. Then we see that it says 80 right behind it, but we don't want to see that part because we want it to happen as soon as possible. So we ignore that part, but they're ignoring the 27th day of the second month is when God spoke. And when it's time for the church to leave, you're going to hear God speak. The same way he spoke to John. He's going to say, come up here. And it'll sound like a trumpet to the world, and it'll sound like a voice to us as a trumpet. But the day that God has chosen, that he's going to speak and take the church out of the world, is coming.
Yes.
Yeah. Why? We can't be a bunch of complacent Christians who don't want to know what's going on in the world. We only want to go to church, clock in, clock out, and go home. We don't want to know if God is active or he's not. We don't want to know the spiritual battles that are going on. We hear that Nephilim are in the world and they hate us and they're trying to get rid of us. Well, I don't want to know about that. That's too much. I was telling a young man back there today, Jacob, they make music to open your pineal gland to get demons inside of you.
Yeah.
There's some people that don't want to hear that.
Right.
You mean I can't listen to this, and this anymore? Because we like to ignore things to make life convenient instead of looking at what God is doing. Look, even in the state that the world is in right now, there are some people that are going, well, things will get better. And the Bible says, the whole world will worship the beast. Oh, things will get better. It looks like it's getting better. In one of the things, newspapers that they had, they said, the Illuminati has given us a few things. They put it on the thing. We're going to give you cell phones, entertainment, and sports. Okay? So they know how to keep you occupied. They'll give you sports, and they're going to give you entertainment, and it's going to look like things are getting better. Why? Because people are going to sporting events again. Isn't it awesome? See, I told you, the world's going to get back to normal. The flood already started, guys. There's no more going back to normal. There's only your passion for Jesus and the wedding feast. After living that, you can go home and say, well, you know, just sleep like Drea sleep. Put the cover over your head. I don't know how she breathes like that. Sometimes I just pull the cover off. I was like, how do you breathe with the cover over your head? But don't just cover yourself, you know, cover your head and pretend that nothing's going on around you. Don't do that.
Don't do that. It's some craziness going. Do you know the New York governor is now being sued because he put all those people on ventilators and they died in that elder home?
Cuomo. Yeah.
Cuomo. They even got rid of him and brought in a new Nephilim. Who's encouraging everybody to go out and do the right thing, right? So, listen, you guys. My passion is for Jesus. Why? Because I didn't know nothing, and I had a lot of problems. And some guy who had been worse than me, a worse person than me, was walking around with a Bible in his hand. Mm. And I'm looking at him going, what in the heck happened to you? Praise the Lord. God bless you, brother. Aren't you Tony? Aren't you called Loco Tony or something? Wow. He's like, no, don't call me that anymore. I gave my life to Christ. And he started talking to me about Jesus. Invited me to church. I'm like, okay, I'm going. I told him, I'm going. I said, he said, Van will come get you. I said, I'm going. You know why I'm going? I told him, I want to see what happened to you because you look crazy. You got this big old cross around your neck. You got a Bible in your hand. You used to be one of the craziest gangsters at this school. And look at you now. You look like a goofball. I'm going because I want to see what happened to you.
10 minutes, Pastor.
They came and picked me up in a van. I went to the church, went inside. I won't tell you the rest of that crazy evening, but I'm telling you, I knew I was going to a crazy neighborhood, so I was ready when I went. We go there, and the guy's talking about sin and people and how God has to pay for all that sin. And how is he going to pay for all that sin? And God figured out a way. I'm going to have to go down there and pay for it myself. And he's preaching. He says, now, if you believe this, you can have Jesus Christ in your life and be saved. And you will never hear the second part of this message. Then he started talking about hell. And talking about the heat of hell and the torment of hell. And I'm sitting there like this. At the end, I get up, put my little rag in my tuffet in my pocket, and I'm walking because you know you got to be.
Right.
I'm 17. I'm stupid, y'all. I got four braids in my hair and a hairnet. I got four braids in my hair and a hairnet. And I walk down the aisle like this. And the pastor, when I got to the front, the pastor did like this. What do you want? I said, I want to accept Jesus, what you was talking about. He went, oh. So that's the night I accepted Christ. I accepted Christ, and then they baptized me, and I came up out of the water. I'm speaking in tongues. I don't even know what tongues is. And I'm speaking in tongues. And it was like, well, I was like, what happened? He was like, oh, he just poured the Holy Spirit into you. You were speaking in tongues. I don't even know if you knew where you were, because I didn't. I was just sitting there, and I was just speaking in tongues in the water right after I came by the baptism. So I get home. I break up with my, everything's just beautiful. I wake up the next morning, and I can't believe that God accepted me, because I was into some things, y'all. And God saved me, cleaned up my mouth, cleaned up my behavior, took all the lust out, he did so many beautiful things. And I was like, you died so you can give me your spirit so it could take control of this body and change me from the inside out. You did that for me. So that's what I'm passionate and in love with. I'm telling you this because some people are in love with the rapture to the moment that if Rosh Hashanah happens and passes, they're going to leave Christ.
Yep. Yep.
And the big day that everybody's looking for right now is Rosh Hashanah. And I am too. And I want you to know that. But I'm also looking for the 27th day of the second month, which is not until November 31st and December 1st.
Ooh, dude.
So people are like, we don't want to hear that. And I'm like, I know you don't. But see, we're the same people that ignored the 80
yep.
and looked at the 70,
yep.
but we didn't look at the, but to me, the whole thing doesn't, it matters, but it doesn't matter because I still have Jesus.
Yeah. Right. Man. 5 minutes, Pastor.
Even though it's very, I'm excited, man, I am excited about leaving Earth. Man. I'm excited about it. Man. I can't wait. It's going to be, the Bible even says there's going to be thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly when we get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no matter what you're doing, whether you're in the grave, whether you're walking around, you will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air.
Yeah.
And so you will. I am so excited about God's plan for me, but I'm already passionately in love. It doesn't matter. I love when, you know, someone's in love, but they're like, it don't matter. I could just, we could just sit home and watch a movie.
Yeah.
And it's still passionate. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be a big thing because you're passionately in love. It doesn't matter. You understand?
Amen.
And so be in love with Jesus, okay? Be excited about the rapture. Be in love with Jesus. Because I'm telling you, you guys know we all have problems. We had problems, y'all. We had problems.
Yeah.
I remember my girlfriend threw my gun away from me. I was like, I got to get rid of this thing. What I was thinking I wanted to do with it, I didn't want to do with it anymore. So I was like, if you just throw in the trash can for me, I appreciate it. So she took it and she threw it down the chute in the trash can. And I'm like, well, it's good I got rid of that, Lord. You know, but I'm just saying, mentally, I was not all there. But he came in, all of a sudden, Sandman don't even curse anymore. That's what they used to say. Sandman don't even curse anymore. No, he ain't gonna smoke no weed. Let's not even go over there. He don't even do that no more. Girl, oh, yeah, you know, I had a dream and me and you was together. I was like, no, you didn't. I was like, I just broke up with my girlfriend because I'm in love with Jesus. Ain't no way I'm going to be with you. And she's mad at me.
Yeah, she is.
But look how my mind was changing.
Yeah.
And God did that for me by coming here and taking 39 on his back, punches in his face. All of this stuff, just so I can have the Holy Spirit, so I can be changed and make it to where he is. And you expect me to only be excited about the wedding and not be excited about the person?
Yeah.
It ain't gonna happen. I'm changed.
Yeah.
To me, if there's no rapture, man, I love Jesus.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah.
I love. At the sporting event last week. Me and Israel at the store yesterday, just buying a video game. And the guy gave us the wrong game. He just started cursing like a sailor. Israel's looking at me and I'm looking at Israel. He said, everybody ain't saved, Israel. just realize, everybody. But we live in a world that is crazy around us. And because we've been saved so long, we think, yeah, we think. But you know what? They're looking at us like, you know, you used to be one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have to look them back in the eye and say, yeah, I used to be.
Used to be.
Yeah. But look where we are, in a position to go to a wedding feast with the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that created all things living inside of us and guiding your life, waiting for the opportunity to bless you and working things out. Y'all just don't know. Just working things out. I told my son yesterday, this is it, Pastor Ben. I told my son yesterday, being positive is nothing without Jesus.
Say that. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Working hard to get somewhere in life is nothing without Jesus. So this, if Kobe Bryant would have said to me, I'll give you $10 million to walk away from Jesus and you can have all of my rings, I would go, I wouldn't take any of it that you just offered for Jesus.
Amen.
Because you don't understand what he's done for us, right? I'm in love with Jesus. I'm excited about the rapture. Praise God.
Amen.